Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
What is up and welcome to an edition of the Newbie Brothers podcast. My name is Justin.
And I'm Player 3.
And today we are going to do a quick review of Guardians of the Galaxy, the video game that just recently came out. I've seen some gameplay footage of it. I personally have not played it because I'm convinced I won't like it because it is a single player game.
You're not a single player guy.
No, and but it's weird because like I'm playing Back for Blood, essentially single player campaign mode because one, I'm worried I'm going to screw something up if I play with like randoms, and two, I don't want to have to talk to them. So
you're playing on solo campaign, right?
Yes, solo campaign.
You know what?
And it's good.
You know what sucks about that though? Don't give you supply points.
They don't.
For solo campaign.
They don't.
Disable it. And it's like, that's the whole... it makes me so mad.
The weirdest part about that in general is the levels. So the part I got to the church. I'm still pretty early on in it. I don't play that much. I play one or two little missions here and there. I just got to the church, which you have to barricade yourself in, essentially, and create the safe room. Which is a cool concept because in the past, like Left 4 Dead and everything like that is like, you just got there. It was already made. Like this one, like you're literally fortifying this thing to make sure you're good to go.
It's literally like the final part of the level is like, you're in the church, massive horde just keeps coming in, barricade it, and then you're good.
Yeah. And so I like that. But as a solo player, it's kind of weird because
you're the only one doing it.
None of your bots are going to pick up the wood and put it on the wall and stuff like that. So that is all on you. And I obviously play on the easiest mode because one, I'm just trying to get the experience. And two, I just want to see the storyline. So I think I didn't fire a shot the entire time while the horde was coming towards the church and I was just fortifying it and stuff. So it is fun. It's a great game. And I have a ton of fun with it. I'm still trying to get myself to understand that the melee weapons are actually really good and very beneficial, where I'm so used to when I used to play Left 4 Dead only using guns. And so that there was like a block being like, no, I can't get that close to them, but it does. I mean, the melee weapons are like legit. They're like really good.
Left 4 Dead 2, they added melee weapons. And I remember just being like, ooh, this has opened a new door for me.
What's interesting too is in the old Left 4 Dead games, I was big into using the sniper rifle or a rifle in general. And I've noticed in this game, I've been more of a fan of the shotgun.
Interesting. I was super into automatics in Left 4 Dead, and that has not changed for Back 4 Blood. But then Martin was like super into automatics, and now all he uses is like hunting rifles in Back 4 Blood. I don't get it.
The problem I have with the rifle is, and maybe I just haven't gotten to a level where it is, like the rifle, I liked it because I was kind of like a hang back. I'm just going to take out a bunch of these guys and then we'll move forward. Where maybe it's because I'm playing solo, whatever. That doesn't necessarily seem to be an option a lot of the time for me, where I kind of have to be like running in guns blazing and just trying to take them all out. So
unfortunately, the way that Back 4 Blood seems to play is that like they don't let you just sit.
If you do, they come for you. If you sit, they'll send things at you.
If that was my biggest critique of Back 4 Blood, like with Left 4 Dead, it was like you would kill a special zombie and then you might see another one in maybe like
they're sending
a minute or two.
Yeah.
But in Back 4 Blood, it's like constant. It's nonstop. Like, oh, there's one of the Charger dudes. There's one of the Exploder dudes. There's one of the Spitter dudes. And it's literally like, constantly.
Have you?
And then if you kill everything in the area and you just sit, they just keep showing up anyways. It's the worst.
Yeah. Have you dealt with the screamer yet? Because I haven't figured out a way to kill it without it alerting a horde.
It's literally just speed killing it.
You just gotta like rush it and hit it.
I know John. Well, not hit it. Like, don't melee it, because I think getting close to it will
freaks
make it scream.
Okay.
But I know John like cooked a grenade and threw it at him and blew him up instantly. I know we like all shot him all at once, and it was before he could let it off. I do know one of the corruption cards at the beginning of the level would be like, when you kill a screamer, he'll scream anyways. Like,
well, and I and the other one
regardless.
The one the cards that I've noticed that I'm not the biggest fans of is the fog card. I really don't like the fog card. Just because I already have a hard enough time seeing in the game. You don't need to throw in some fog. It's just gonna make it worse for me.
Sure.
And then the other one is the crows, which also alert the horde. When the crows are just like around a dead body or something like that.
You gotta be around them.
Yeah, so, but either way, it's a fun game, and obviously if you were a Left 4 Dead fan, I would highly suggest getting it.
Absolutely. And so, kind of going back to what you were saying about how, like, you've been playing that on solo, but you still have, like, teammates and stuff, and, like, you're enjoying that. Guardians of the Galaxy is definitely a very story-driven game. So a lot of paying attention to what they're saying, but that might be one of my highest praise of the game. I beat it, by the way. Like, I rushed through it. I wanted to make sure I like completed it, and now I'm on my second playthrough to get all the achievements.
How long did it take you to do? And I get it, like you were rushing through, but is it a long campaign?
It doesn't feel long. There's like maybe each chapter takes maybe around like 30 minutes to maybe an hour, depending on how long you play. And there's about like 15 chapters.
Okay, so 15 chapters. So I mean, it's a good amount. Maybe like 6-7 hours, you would guess.
If you're running through it, 15 hours if you're taking your time and exploring. And talking to your crew and stuff.
Is it in the price of the game's the same as any other price of a game, like $60?
Yeah, it's $60. But I mean, like, I gotta give all the kudos to the world, to the dialogue writers, the people who wrote all the dialogue and the story of this game.
Sure.
Because you know it's a Guardians of the Galaxy game when constantly, whether you're in the middle of a cutscene, walking through a planet, in the middle of a fight, they're all bickering with each other, and it's amazing.
Oh, that's like, cool.
It's hysterical. It's literally like, you know, Drax will say something about how, like, this fight is, like, making his blood, like, engorge, and then Gamora's, like, in midair swinging her sword at somebody being like, didn't mean to hear that, and, like, they all talk with each other in the middle of the fight.
Oh, and cool.
It's really great dialogue. It's really funny. They're constantly at each other's throats because they don't get along. But, you know, like, the story kind of develops that. There's a lot of, like, going deep into each character's background and story themselves. There's a lot of emotional moments. Like, the story is very well done. Okay. And it's, like, I don't know, like, they just did a phenomenal job with it.
Now, does the game itself take place as one of the movies from Guardians of the Galaxy that we've seen? Like, would we know the storyline?
It has nothing to do with any of the Marvel movies or anything like that. The storyline follows a more personal storyline for Peter Quill. Okay. But also involves one of the biggest enemies to the Guardians of the Galaxy from the comics, which is called the Universal Church of Truth. We have not seen them in the MCU yet. I'm hoping we will. But it's essentially like a cult that forces people to be indoctrinated under them.
Okay.
So it's like brainwashing, essentially. And that's like the plot. So even places where they go that they're expecting friendlies, it's like all of them have already been taken over by this hive mind of the universal Church of Truth. And
sure,
they, in the plot of the game, they are still trying to get their footing. Like, they're trying to be known. Nobody knows who they are. And it's like, you know, Groot filled out all their profiles when they, you know, signed up and became the team on, like, the their data that's out there. So when they get arrested at one point in the game, they're reading off their thing and they're like, the Gardeners of the Galaxy? And and then it's Rocket who's like, I had Groot filled out. I fixed it with an addendum. Like, I tried to fix this.
That's funny. Like,
check the addendum. That's the correct information.
So if as somebody that is a casual Guardians of the Galaxy fan, I think something from the games or the games, something from the movies that is obviously a huge, huge focus is the music. Were they able to capture that well in the game, or was it a swing and a miss? Because I feel like for them, it's like that is, you can make or break with the soundtrack.
So let me tell you something.
Oh,
in
no.
In the middle of the fight, no. In the middle of the fight, when a certain like bar gets filled up, I think it's all dependent on how well you do, and it carries over to the next fight. When that bar is filled up, it tells you to press LB and RB at the same time. And Star-Lord takes the Walkman, holds it above his head, and goes, guys, huddle up! Everybody does this big huddle-up moment. And depending on how the fight's going, the characters will say, like, oh my god, we're getting our asses kicked out there. Okay. What do we do? Or if it's going really well, they're saying stuff like, I've never felt so alive in my life! And then you'll have two options as Peter. They're both speeches. They're both little mini speeches because Peter loves giving speeches. Mm-hmm. And depending on which option you choose, if it's a good speech, everybody's pumped up and everybody gets an attack boost. If it's an okay speech, Peter gets the attack boost and nobody else gets the boost.
Okay.
And when that speech is over and the huddle up breaks and they go back into the fight, it'll play a random song from the Walkman. And I just gotta tell you, I had some amazing moments in the game, all dependent on what song I got.
Okay.
I had, towards the end of the game, during one of the final boss fights, I did the huddle up, we broke, and I Need a Hero started playing. And it was the most epic moment of my life. Like, it was so damn cool to be like, you know, Peter does, like, power slides, and, like, he's shooting people, like, on the ground, and then he'll jump in the air and, you know, be above them, and I'll have Groot like tangle people up and shoot that. It's so good. And all that happening while I Need a Hero is blasting is so, so good.
So, so music's A plus then, like you're saying is
music's
great.
The only reason why I don't want to say other songs on the playlist, like I'll tell you, I Need a Hero. Some of the songs are scripted to like the scenes, like they'll play music when you're flying to Milano and it's like, wow, this is a great song that they chose for this. And some of the songs, one of them was honestly like a huge joke that I wasn't sure if it just happened to me, like a rare thing.
Okay.
But I saw their Twitter the other day and they started making a joke like about the song choice. And I was just like, oh, I don't want to ruin this for anybody. Cause it is an amazing moment in the game.
Okay. I won't.
The songs are great.
Okay. Then I won't press a little bit more, but I'm wondering if I have an idea of what that song might potentially be. Does it pertain to the TikTok I sent you that one time recently?
Yes.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. I had a feeling that's what it was. We'll leave it at
Believe
that.
Believe me.
We don't want to spoil that for anybody. And as you were saying, I assume that's what it was, though.
When that song started playing, the characters who, like, don't know the song, like, Gamora was like, I love this music! It's so good.
Okay.
So the game's fantastic. Fantastic storyline, fantastic music, fantastic character development. You learn a lot about each of the characters and their backstories.
Sure.
It explores a lot of things that the movies haven't yet.
Cool.
Like the element guns that Peter uses, like those are extremely like rare. Like he's the only one we see use them, I think, in all of Marvel Comics. I could be wrong.
Okay. Okay.
And they go into that. They go into like where he got the guns and stuff, and it's really, really cool. I could not recommend this game enough. I had such a damn good time playing it. There's a story-driven moment in the game. They showed it off during E3, I believe,
okay,
where they need to make cash. Like, right away, like, they gotta, you know, get some units, which is, like, their monetary
currency
system in,
yeah,
the game. They gotta get them quick. So they come up with this plan of, we're gonna sell a monster to this lady who all she does is collect monsters. And they showed this in the E3 thing. And the plan that they come up with is, we'll sell Groot and then we'll just break him out.
Okay.
But Rocket doesn't want you to sell Groot because Rocket loves Groot. He's,
yeah,
his best friend. So he says, no, sell me. I can be more of a monster. So then you get a story-driven moment where you have to make a decision. Do you sell Groot or do you sell Rocket?
And does it, I mean, obviously it would change the outcome of how that storyline goes, I'm assuming?
I'm playing my second playthrough right now. The first time I decided to sell Rocket and it took me down this path. And then this time, mm-hmm, I'm selling Groot and it took me down another path. And it's like completely different,
cool,
setup, essentially. And like,
cool,
different way to play through the story. It's really cool.
Cool. Awesome. So what would be, I guess, like, as a final thought for it, what would be,
yeah,
a critique that you would have, something that may not necessarily was bad about it, but something that you were like, I might have done that a little bit different, not necessarily like storyline, maybe it's controls, maybe it's, you know, something, if you have one.
I'm really trying to think of one. Normally when I play games, something will always stand out to me and I'll be like, oh, that's the one thing I'd do different. Just like I was saying earlier with Back 4 Blood, like, I,
sure,
wish they didn't throw those special zombies at us constantly.
Sure, yeah.
And honestly, I can't think of like anything. I mean, they have a very consistent story where it's all levels and chapters and stuff.
Sure.
And that's standard for a lot of single player experiences. I would have loved a semi-open world. They kind of have that just on the ship where before missions, you can just talk to your crew.
Sure.
Which is great. But I definitely did have this little moment of like, oh man, I hope when the game's over, it's not like over. Like that's like
walk around.
You can't do anything else, you know?
Yeah.
But that was the case. When the game's over, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just start a new game.
Okay.
So maybe that would be my critique. I mean, it's a really shitty one because I gotta tell you, like, I had such a good time. I don't even know if I mentioned gameplay wise when the way that like the gameplay works, because I remember when the game was announced, my one critique was, I wish I didn't just have to play as Star-Lord. I wish I could play as Rocket and Groot or Gamora or Drax.
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed you're stuck as Star-Lord. I mean, he's my favorite of all of them. I love Star-Lord to death, but I wish I could have played as the other ones and they did like a multiplayer thing, like Avengers. Like, that would have been cool. The way they did the game, my mind has changed about that entirely.
Okay.
Because the way they handled it was amazing. Because Star-Lord's the leader, he's the planning guy. So when you're playing and you're in the middle of a fight, you literally, as Star-Lord, will be like, you'll have a button, and then you'll choose Groot,
mm-hmm,
and everything will slow down.
Yeah.
And then you have four abilities for Groot that you choose that he does, and then all of them do different things. So it's like, you know, there'll be a big, massive amount of enemies, and I'll tell Groot to uproot people, which will mean, like, he'll literally, like, tangle them up in vines and hold them in place so they can't move around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll tell Rocket
shoot
to throw a grenade at all the ones who are like in the tangled thing. I'll see a big guy who's got a lot of health, who just needs to be like distracted. So I'll tell Drax to like get on his back and stab him. Like it's really like, and then while he's distracted, I'll have Gamora like slice him in the back, which does a lot of damage because Drax distracting him.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm,
it's all plan oriented and it's really great.
Okay.
And all at the same time, I'm just Star-Lord shooting my elemental guns and It's really, really good. It's such a great experience. And I think for like future Marvel games, like I think they could really learn from like how they handled it. Like another really just quick thing that I really appreciated. You've played the Avengers game,
Sure, yeah.
and with cosmetics in that game, it's like you can earn a few of them. The rest you have to pay money for, and especially the cool ones. It's like the MCU Iron Man 1 skin is literally $15. You pay $15 to get an Iron Man 1 skin. The MCU skins, there's one for each character for Guardians of the Galaxy 1, the first movie. Each character gets their own outfit from that movie in the game, and
Okay.
it's all earnable. It's all just you find it in the world.
So like as
And
it could be
like,
it, is it almost like open up a safe type situation and like you open it up and it's like, oh, there's somebody's outfit, you know?
literally, when you're exploring, there's three things you can four things you can find. Collectibles that make you talk, that allow you to talk and learn more about each team member
Cool.
back on the Milano.
Cool.
These like craftable materials that you can use to upgrade your gear, that Rocket will use to upgrade your gear. Archive stuff, which is like it's just like informational stuff about the world. It's just world building. And then outfit chests, that literally there's just these chests out randomly in the wild in the world, and they want you to explore and have a good time.
Find it.
And when you find it, a lot of them are very easy to find. It just gives you an outfit. And I
That's
mean,
cool.
like, I got some really cool ones for the characters. I mean, I think it's in the first level you can find Rocket's movie one.
Okay.
Like in the first level. It's not like, you know, towards the end of the game, that's when we'll give it to you. They give some of them like right away.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's like I got Drax looking like his classic comic book outfit. So he's wearing like a big cape and like this like weird thing on his head. He looks great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I just recently read this great Guardians of the Galaxy comic that features Star Lord wearing like this really cool jacket, and he's got like this thick beard and like long hair, and he just looks awesome. And that outfit's in the game, and
Oh, that's
I
cool.
got that outfit. I'm just like, God, this it's so well done how they did that
So
stuff.
if
So
you're like super into Marvel and the comics and stuff, there's like little subtle things that will be for you in there as well.
literally, I got a just I think they give you stuff just for buying, like they give you like all their classic outfits just for buying
Sure.
the game, or at least a lot of classic outfits. Like Rocket in that recent comic series that I read, he wears a suit, like a gray suit with a red, he looks like a Yakuza boss, and he's got like sunglasses on. And they gave me that outfit when I just bought the game.
Okay.
So through most of the game, Rocket's looking like a mob boss in my playthrough.
That's awesome.
And that was from a comic, you know, and
Okay.
I got Star Lord wearing his classic like 2008 outfit from the comic, where he's like bright blue and red, like military outfit, you know. It's really, really cool.
All right. So highly recommended from the
Highly
Newby Brothers.
recommended.
Awesome. Well,
Highly recommended.
we will be back with another episode next week. Who knows what direction we'll go then? Tank should be back for that one too, and we'll get it going. And we appreciate you guys following along. Obviously, subscribe to the podcast. We'll do more reviews. There's a ton of games coming out that we're obviously going to try to play and be a part of. And check, I mean, the Halo campaign looks phenomenal. So we'll see
Yeah.
where it goes. But all those reviews, all the fun that we have, you know, we obviously joke with each other too. It's a casual podcast. You can follow along. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. Just search Newbie Brothers, and we'll be there. We will be back for another episode in a few days.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.